contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. And if you think it's a throwaway Friday, you are mistaken. There is major news that the media is burying, talking about trivia, while the world is on fire. How do you feel about Obama and Leon Panetta evading responsibility for the deaths in Libya? Do you feel Panetta should be forced to step down? This just came out. Obama was thrown under the bus by his CIA director, General Petraeus, who just moments ago, Petraeus said nobody in the CIA said stand down. Nobody denied the CIA team permission to rescue Libya, ambassador says Petraeus from his side. So that means somebody did it inside the Defense Department or inside the White House itself. So who do you think did it? Who inside the White House caused this murder? Now you say, well, it isn't murder, it's just war, and in war people die. Well, we were told it was the video. We knew that was a lie from Susan Rice in the White House. Now it gets even worse. I want you to listen to what went on. We are talking about the fact that somebody in the Obama administration denied the CIA team permission to rescue the Libya ambassador and save the other CIA operatives, the SEALs especially. In fact, the CIA team just a mile away from the U.S. consulate in Benghazi as it was burning was twice told to stand down rather than go to the aid of Ambassador Chris Stevens and his team on the night of September 11th. The father of one of the murdered men, the SEAL himself, Charlie Woods, father of Tyrone Woods, said that whoever made that decision and the people who are lying about it are murderers. This is a murder. Your administration is complicit in murder. Now, I want to tell you how personal this is for many Americans in this country today. I was at the mall today many hours ago loading a bicycle into a van. I took a bike ride. My producer came and picked up the bike, blah, blah, blah. And I was agitated over this. And I was saying, I believe that the military should be called on the carpet. I think Obama should be called on the carpet. So a woman came up to us. I don't know where she was from, middle-aged, of Middle Eastern descent. And with a smile, she said, what is it that the president did? She asked. I didn't know whether she was friend or foe. She didn't know who I was. I said, the president permitted the embassy to burn and permitted the Libyan ambassador to die. He refused to send in the military. She said, that's not right. She said, we need the U.S. military here, not in Libya. She said, we need the U.S. military on the streets of America to arrest men like you who are criticizing the president. I swear to you, I'm not making this up. So I said, why don't you go back to the country you came from? She said, if Romney wins, she said, both welfare and Social Security are going to be cut, as she scurried away. And I said to myself, that's the essence of the election in a nutshell. The Democrats have flooded our nation with welfare leeches who would be dependent upon them and vote them in over and over and over again. They don't care about national security. They don't care about national sovereignty. They don't care about America's identity. They care only about the welfare, the food stamps, the Social Security that they are leeching off the system. And so as I say to you, these things are very, very important to you, but you don't even understand this. So I'm going to ask you again, and you can call this show from anywhere in America by dialing 1-855-400-7282. That's 1-855-400-SAVAGE. You're listening to the Friday edition of The Savage Nation. This is the biggest story of the election. It doesn't matter that the vermin in the media are burying it and talking about every subject under the sun, from mozzarella cheese to baseball bats. The fact of the matter is, this is a big scandal. Libya Gate is the biggest scandal of the Obama administration. Gigantic. What are we talking about? Do you have any idea? Well, let's go to Jennifer Rubin of Fox News, who broke this story in clip one.
Sources who were on the ground in Benghazi during the attack tell that, in fact, there were three separate requests to aid not only the attack that was occurring at the consulate and to try and help with that attack, but also requests for outside help, outside military to help once there were gunfires and firefights at the CIA annex. Those requests, we're told, came from higher headquarters. They were told to stand down.
So who did it? The general in charge of the CIA, General Petraeus, not too long ago, denied that he and the CIA told the men to stand down. That means it happened in either Leon Panetta's office or in Obama's White House. Somebody did this. Somebody did this. And what we're talking about is murder here. I want you to listen to Charlie Woods, father of Tyrone Woods, a former Navy SEAL who was executed in Benghazi, as he talks about his son's death. He starts by saying, well, Dino, play clips 9 and 11 back to back, 9 to 11, please.
This is not about politics. This is about, if it were about politics, it would dishonor my son's death. This has to do with honor, integrity, and justice. To me, I'm an attorney. This may not meet the legal test of murder, but to me, that is not only cowardice, but those people who made the decision and who knew about the decision and lied about it are murderers of my son. That's a very strong statement for me to make, but for their benefit, they need to clear their conscience, they need to stand up, and they need to change the direction of their lives.
He said the people who made this decision and the people who lied about it are murderers. You know, in the American courts, there is people go on trial for being accessory to murder. So now we have top officials in the Obama administration who are accessories to murder, and they're covering this up. Yesterday on the Savage Nation, I played the shocking soundbite. I hope we still have it. I don't know if we do, of Hillary Clinton laughing about it, which we're going to play for you again in a moment. This is Hillary over and over again laughing about murder. She laughed about the murder of Gaddafi when she said, "We came, we saw, he died." Now listen to this wonderful human being, Imelda Marcos Clinton, in clip six.
The Independent Accountability Review Board is already hard at work looking at everything, not cherry-picking, you know, one story here,
you know,
one document there, but looking at everything, which I highly recommend as the appropriate approach to something as complex as an attack like this.
Something as complex as an attack like this. No mention of the deaths. An urgent request from CIA personnel to be allowed to go to the aid of the U.S. consulate in Libya during the September 11th terrorist attack was denied by Obama officials, despite the fact that the team, which included at least one Navy SEAL, was only a mile away. The officials twice told CIA officers to stand down rather than help the Americans when shots were heard in Benghazi. Are you listening to this? Ambassador Stevens and three other Americans died in the attack. When Woods and others heard the shots fired about 9:40 p.m., they notified their supervisors at the annex and requested permission to head to the consulate to help. But the supervisors told them to stop, stand down. Woods and at least two others ignored the orders, overrode their orders, and did the right thing and moved towards the consulate to save the ambassador, which unfortunately at that point was too late because the embassy was already engulfed in flames. Shots were exchanged. The rescue team from the CIA annex evacuated those who remained at the consulate, and the rest is history. They could not find the ambassador. They returned to the CIA annex at about midnight. What happened then? Again, the CIA team on the ground called for military support and help because shots were being fired while they were in the annex. Again, somebody in the White House or in the Defense Department denied the request. This is a gigantic story. It gets even worse. We're going to tell you more about the fact that the security officer had a laser on the target that was firing at them and repeatedly requested backup from a Spectre gunship. The gunship was overhead. It is commonly used by U.S. Special Ops forces to support Special Ops teams on the ground. But some punk, academic, coward in the administration told him not to fire from the gunship. Again, you have academic lunatics ruining the nation from the ground up, from America to Benghazi. It gets worse. And I'm going to ask you again. Why is America so stupid that they don't care about a thing like this? How do you feel about Obama and Panetta evading and ducking responsibility? Do you feel Panetta should be forced to step down? since Petraeus just said this night that nobody in his division of this, in his CIA, was responsible for saying stand down. He has just basically thrown the Obama administration under the bus. So who did it? Was it Panetta or was it Obama? Was it somebody in Obama's White House? Was it Susan Rice again? The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. The Savage Nation on a very, very sad day indeed to realize we have such a lying criminal administration that not only would they let the ambassador die and the CIA guys die, the special forces guys die, but they would lie about it over and over again. So you say, well, what's the big deal? Be realistic. Governments all lie. Really? But that's what a press is for. The job of the press, which has been called many names, including, I believe, the Fifth Estate, the job of the press is to be a watchdog over the government. Unfortunately, they have become a lapdog for the media, not a watchdog. So don't accuse me of not doing my job. Under Obama, the press has become not the Fifth Estate, but the Fifth Column. Yes, that's what they become, the Fifth Column, marching in lockstep with the radical leftists in the Democratic machine. So now we learn that they had a laser on the target that was firing. They were screaming for backup from a Spectre gunship. And somebody, some academic egghead in the White House said, no, don't fight. The fighting at the CIA annex went on for more than 4 hours, which gave enough time for planes based in Sicily, about 480 miles away, to arrive. They could have brought in some planes. In fact, two separate Tier 1 Special Ops forces also were told to stand down, among them Delta Force operators. This is being reported by Fox News. And Leon Panetta, the most shameful defense secretary in American history, said that you don't deploy forces into harm's way without knowing what's going on. Can you believe this? You know that Leon Panetta was running a college before he was handpicked by Obama to first be CIA director with no background at all. No background at all in security, ran the CIA. Then they moved him over to defense with no military training whatsoever, a little minor military experience. And he had the nerve to say it's Monday morning quarterbacking. Then he says you don't deploy forces into harm's way without knowing what's going on. Well, the guys on the ground knew what was going on. They were getting killed. Where was Panetta? Where was he? Having pancetta? Riley, on KSFO in San Francisco, are you as outraged as some are about this? This is not false outrage. This is genuine outrage, wouldn't you say?
Sir, I think it's absolutely ridiculous. This is an insult to every American in uniform that's ever served. It's like the plot to a bad B-grade movie, to be honest. You know, there's pre-planned responses in places for embassy attacks all over the world every day. Somebody had to actually stop that from happening. That was either the guys at Spec Ops or the guys in AFRICOM who didn't give the order to allow those to be carried out.
All right, but wait. Petraeus, the head of the CIA, a general, today, hours ago, just said he did not give the orders to stand down. That means he's passing the buck back to Panetta and Obama, doesn't it?
I would say yes, sir. Somebody had to make a conscious decision not to allow those responses to take place.
But if we had a representative government that was transparent, wouldn't you and I both agree that that individual should be forced to come forward and pay the consequences for that decision?
They should probably be criminally prosecuted. That's complete dereliction of duty. That should be, you know, if they were in the military, it would be a bad conduct discharge, and it's probably a felony-level offense.
Well, there you go. The father of the slain SEAL said the people who made the decision and lied about it are murderers. Riley, thanks for being a listener on the Savage Nation here on KSFO. Let's go to the next caller, Wham in Rochester, a powerhouse East Coast station. Chris, I'm delighted that you're listening and calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, it's great to have you back on the air. You sound great.
Thank you.
It actually sounds better and clearer than it did before.
Well, I don't want to get distracted, but I'll tell you the truth. I have the best engineers in the world, and they put in very expensive equipment that has finally let people hear my voice as it is. So thank you for that. So who do you think is responsible here, Chris?
Undoubtedly Leon Panetta And I think we have to look at Leon Panetta's old ties to the Communist Party.
Thank you. Somebody knows who he is. A Bay Area left-wing radical tied into the Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein machine, a lifer on the left. Exactly right.
You have to look at the proxy war that we have going on in Syria with Russia that the media is not covering, the chaos that the whole Arab Spring or winter, whatever you want to call it, has created, and these communists want nothing more than this to just keep furthering and expanding and going on and on. And these communist ties with Obama, the people who he's appointed, Leon Panetta runs so deep, Mike, it's disgusting that this is going on in our nation.
How do you know this history of Leon Panetta, who acts like a nice, you know, I've joked about him as Peter Sellers. This guy was running an obscure college in Monterey. He was in semi-retirement when he was handpicked by the Obama leftists to first run the CIA. You know that, don't you?
Yeah, and what's even more disgusting, Mike, is that the Republican Senate and the Republican senators, congressmen, actually confirmed this guy, and I don't believe there was a negative vote against him, and it disgusted me at the time, and it's even more disgusting today.
But how do you know this much about Panetta? Where did you learn this?
I don't know. I just, he came out of obscurity, and I just know anybody that Obama appoints is to be looked at with a very, very shifty.
Yeah, everywhere you turn, there's another Manchurian candidate that was put into a position of power, and it is unraveling weeks before the election. The problem is they have a press that they own, lock, stock, and a laptop. Is that correct? Of course it's correct.
Yeah.
They own every laptop in every newsroom in this country. Not a word comes out of the major media that is not vetted or approved by someone higher up who feeds right into the White House. And so we're living not with a fifth estate, but a fifth column. And you know what the fifth column refers to, Chris, or don't you?
Pardon me?
No, many people don't know what I mean when I say that the fifth estate has become the fifth column, but I'll explain that later on the Savage Nation. The phone number here is 855-400-SAVAGE, new hours, same man, better equipment, better voice. When I come back, more about this outrage in Benghazi. Libya Gate continues to grow, and all the nighttime comedians in the world cannot put Humpty together again.
All right, on a warm San Franciscan night.
It is the Friday edition of the Savage Nation, and while I'm outraged about Libya Gate, incidentally, I'm calling it Libya Gate. It could be called Benghazi Gate, but since Libya Gate has the three letters of the word liberal in it, I would think it might travel farther if we refer to it as Libya Gate, because even liberals might respond to the three letters in the beginning of the word of Libya, Libya. They may think it has something to do with benefits for liberals, but it has nothing to do with benefits for liberals. It's Libya Gate, not a laughing matter. There are dead people, a burnt ambassadorship. The embassy is burnt to the ground, rather, and Obama's passing the buck. Panetta is saying we're doing Monday morning quarterbacking, while the men on the ground, the fighting men on the ground, were screaming and begging for backup. They were told, the men who were going to go to help them were told, stand down by somebody in the academic egghead administration of Obama. And so I asked the same question today on the 134 stations that I am on. In about a week, 134 station as of today on the Savage Nation. New stations added every day, as you can see, 11 stations today. By next week, it'll be even larger. Each day, each week, each month, the Savage Nation reaches more people. This is a giant story. If we lived in sane times, it would bring down the presidency. It would be the end of the election. If we lived in times when people were not psychotically addicted to the Real Housewives of fill in the city. I just don't understand how people watch that garbage. The Real Housewives of El Salvador, the Real Housewives of, name the city. How can they pay attention to Libya Gate when it's so much more interesting to watch women who've had, women with bad shoes, bad hair, and bad lips? I mean, what can be better? So let's go to the callers. 1-855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. New number, different time, same man, better equipment, voice is clearer. You probably never heard me till now. Who's responsible? Let's go to Reno, Nevada. KKOH, David, welcome from the land of the big little city. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, I want to say that it just disgusts me. As somebody who volunteered myself to go over there to Iraq in 2005 to see what this so-called ban is doing to our country, and regardless of Pineda and whoever else is in there, the bottom line, Obama is responsible. It's 100%. It lays at his feet. And I think he should be held 100% accountable, along with this so-called puppet theater of media that we have nowadays that actually thinks it's their right to protect him and keep him in his little eggshell so that nobody that has any kind of intelligence whatsoever can ever find out any information about him unless they actually...
That's right. And you know my statement that the Fifth Estate has become the fifth column. Do you know what the fifth column refers to?
No, sir, I do not.
I've told people I have to describe it. It's a little-known fact of the Spanish Civil War, which I'll describe in a short moment. I don't want to distract people, but thanks for listening. Look, the fact is Obama knew. The fact is Libya Gate is Obama's. He owns it. He's been caught in his lies. New emails, diplomatic cables reveal that his administration deceived the public. I knew it the first minute I saw Susan Rice. I was screaming. I was off the air when I saw her talking about the video, the anti-Mohammed video. I knew she was lying. I looked at her lips. I watched her eyes. I couldn't stand what I was watching. I was screaming. I couldn't wait to get back on the radio. For 2 weeks now, the lying Obama team was claiming that the attack was a result of an anti-Muslim video. It was spontaneous. They knew it was false. Obama knew it was false. In fact, senior State Department officials testified at congressional hearings that there were no protests on September 11th. There were no protests. The latest evidence, though, should bring down the Obama administration. 2 hours after the assault began, the so-called State Department under Hillary Clinton, the Imelda Marcos of our time, sent an email to numerous agencies, including the White House so-called Situation Room, which said that Ansar al-Sharia, a terror group affiliated with al-Qaeda, had claimed responsibility. The email went right into the White House's executive office. That's Obama's inner circles. So from the beginning, Obama knew that Benghazi was a terrorist attack underway. Yet he continued to blame an obscure YouTube video. Now, the fact of the matter is it's gotten worse. It goes on and on. The attack went on for 6 hours. There was a U.S. drone over the compound capturing information and conducting surveillance. There were American fighter jets and an AC-130 gunship less than 450 miles away on the island of Sicily. There was a massive rapid response available. It should have been ordered in to defend the consulate. Instead, the lackluster Obama did nothing. Why? Well, let's ask ourselves why. That's the big question. Now, from the Obama point of view, he didn't want collateral damage. Let's not look at conspiracy theories. Let's not look at he's an enemy working for the other team. I mean, some people think that. These academics in the Obama administration are adverse to any kind of military action whatsoever. They walk on eggshells around Islamists and the Arab world. They're afraid of offending them. And so in their minds, these academicians like Susan Rice, these dangerous left-wingers, say, well, we don't want to violate Libyan sovereignty without the permission of the Libyans in Tripoli, right? And so he let our personnel be butchered like sheep. There were stories that the ambassador was sodomized by rampaging Islamists, which is not uncommon. It is quite common. Ask Israeli members of the IDF. Ask them about the friendly Islamists on the other side of the warpath. They generally rape soldiers that they catch. It's in their codex. It's encoded in their mentality to submit the other side. Submission is central to their doctrine. And so, Libyagate and its atrocity was not an assault on Americans in Libya. It was an attack against America itself. You have to understand that they were invading American soil. On our own soil, it was another 9/11. They were conducting another holy war against the West. And Obama, as intelligent as he is, as educated as he appears to be, he knew it was terrorism. Yet he refuses to this day to order any responsibility, take any responsibility. He's not naming anybody who did this. And so the fact of the matter is, we know he's unfit to be not only commander-in-chief. It should wash away all of his crowing about taking Osama bin Laden down. What I don't understand is this. Here's the question. Here's the question to me. How could anyone in a uniform ever vote for Obama again? Now, you know, there's another side to that question. Well, you say, Michael, look, why should I vote for Romney? He's not a military man. That's a very fair response, incidentally. And I thought about this. And my answer would be, there's a different mentality in Romney's thinking. There's a total different mindset in the people around Romney. And he certainly wouldn't pick a left-wing wobbly, a lifetime leftist like Panetta to be the head of CIA and then defense. I can guarantee you he wouldn't do that. That's number one. Secondly, Romney understands the threat of the Islamists against our liberty and our way of life. He knows that. In his heart, he knows who they are. I don't think Obama actually understands what the Islamists are. He actually thinks that by bowing down to the king of Saudi Arabia and by doing an apology tour, they were going to love him. You know, his entire theory came crashing down in Libya. Moreover, when it comes to Romney, Romney has said he would not cut defense spending. And so I say, if I could appeal to men in uniform throughout the world, if you're a woman whose husband is in the military, how could you ever vote for a Democrat again after seeing a thing like this? Look, the phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. It's Rock and Roll Friday, but I don't have the strength to go back to my old ritual here of playing rock and roll on a Friday. I can't let go here. This is frightening. There's something very wrong with this picture. And I have to take a caller or two. I will in a moment. And after that call, we'll take a break. When I come back, I promise you I will explain what the Fifth Estate is, because many of you don't know what I mean when I say the Fifth Estate has become the Fifth Column. Or shall I say the Fourth Estate, rather, has become the Fifth Column. That's what I was trying to... I'm so excited. The Fourth Estate is the press or the media, and the Fifth Column is something else. But when I coined this 2 years ago, I said the Fourth Estate has become the Fifth Column. I'll explain what the Fifth Column is in a few moments. But let's take a couple of calls right now. Troy on KSFO in San Francisco. Go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Michael, and glad to hear you back on KSFO. Okay, during the lame
duck... Let me say this. It's important. I'm honored to be back on KSFO. I love the station. I could finally reach my hundreds of thousands of fans who've been looking for me. So thanks for listening and finding me so fast.
All right, Michael, great. Congrats. Okay, so during the lame duck session after the 08 election, but before Obama was sworn in, I remember very well, hopefully, you know, maybe you could find this for us, this quote. He was ranting and raving about the poor baby Al-Qaeda scum there in Gitmo not having Fourth Amendment and Sixth Amendment rights and how he wanted to close it and get them into the federal court system.
Right. Okay.
Would love to see Romney, I hope this campaign's listening, do an ad on how Obama and Holder botched the conviction of Ahmed Gilani, who killed or was in on the killing of 284 Americans with the bombing of the Tanzania embassy, and a federal judge, Obama and Holder.
But wait, you're bringing up another topic, which I respect. But I think the connected point to what you're saying is that some of the terrorists released from Gitmo have gone back to become active terrorists. How many of them were involved in the attack on the embassy is the question. I think the answer is not that obscure. And it will be coming out shortly. We're talking about Libya Gate on the Savage Nation. It could have been called Benghazi Gate. But since Libya begins with the three letters dear to the hearts of liberals, I think it will spread more rapidly if we continue to refer to it over the weekend and over next week as Libya Gate. In fact, Ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, I'm going to ask you to think about something. Think about the power that you have between now and the election. Think of the undecided voter. You don't have to scream. You don't have to yell. All you have to do is say, you know, Libya Gate alone is enough to make me decide not to vote for this man. Now, the person may say, well, what's Libya Gate? Libya Gate is Obama saying don't help them as they were dying and screaming for help. That's all there is to it. I'll be right back. Why have you not heard about Libya Gate? Answer, because the fourth estate has become the fifth column. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Many of you know a lot about ZT and about Barry Zito, but you know nothing about Libya Gate. And that's because the press has been feeding you old fish. What do I mean when I say the fourth estate has become the fifth column? What is the fourth estate? The fourth estate is the press. They're supposed to keep a government honest. They're supposed to be the attack dogs against corrupt, dishonest politicians. And when they're not doing that job, they have become the fifth column. So what is the fifth column? Fifth column refers to people who undermine a larger group, such as a nation from within. They could be a secret group of sympathizers of an enemy that are involved in sabotage within military defense lines, or a fifth column can refer to people destroying our borders. But the key element of a fifth column is the secrecy of their activities. And so they can use misinformation campaigns. They can use espionage on a higher level. Where did it come from? It came from the Spanish Civil War. Emilio Mola, a nationalist general during the Spanish Civil War, told a journalist in 1936 that as his four columns of troops were approaching Madrid, there was a fifth column of supporters inside the city who would support him and undermine the Republican government from within. And the term then became widely used in Spain. In fact, Ernest Hemingway used it as the title of his only play, which he wrote in Madrid while the city was being bombarded, and he published it in 1938 in his book, The Fifth Column and the First 49 Stories. Now, this phrase has been used in America before. During World War II, there were many people talking about a fifth column, signs of Nazi fifth column everywhere. See, in those days, journalists knew what was going on. In June of 1940, Life magazine ran a series of photos under the heading Signs of Nazi Fifth Column Everywhere. In 1940, Time magazine called Fifth Column Talk a national phenomenon. In 1940, the New York Times said the first spasm of fear engendered by the success of fifth columns is in less fortunate countries. On and on. So in those days, journalists understood the enemy within. But now they have become the enemy within themselves in many cases, working hand in glove, not only with corruption and corrupt administrations, but possibly even working with Islamists who want to undermine our very freedoms themselves. I'll take your calls now about Libya Gate on the Savage Nation. Let's go to the first caller here in San Francisco again. This is a shocker coming up. Mike on the great KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi, Mike. I want to let you know, first of all, that I've got a friend that's in federal law enforcement, and he showed me an article which pertains to this Libya situation. But before I go to that, let's go back in time. Let's go to when the Egyptian riots first started. There's Wade Rafke, who started ACORN. He had an organization called the Organizer Forum. He sent a delegation over to Egypt to show the Muslim Brotherhood how to take control.
Oh, boy.
Okay, and who was in control of this organization was Thomas Perez. Thomas Perez is now working under Eric Holder. Okay, so
right. Thomas Perez runs the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. I'm aware of who he is.
Okay, now let's go to when Obama went over to Egypt to give his speech. Who did he invite? The Muslim Brotherhood. How many times has Hillary Clinton met with the Muslim Brotherhood? Okay, now, the article that my friend showed me was on westernjournalism.com, and it shows that Obama made a deal, and Hillary Clinton, with the Muslim Brotherhood to capture Christopher Stevens. And in exchange, they were going to make an exchange for the blind sheikh. That's what this is all about. The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt has been saying that they were going to get the blind sheikh back. They made a deal with Obama. The whole thing was botched.
So, in other words, you're alleging that there was an actual plan worked out between the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt to permit the fanatics in Libya to capture Ambassador Stevens and then trade him for the blind sheikh. But it went haywire and they killed him. Is that it?
Yes, sir. Exactly.
Well, it's an interesting theory. I wouldn't put anything past Imelda Marcos nor Barry Obama. Frankly, I am not skeptical of what you just said. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. If you want to lighten up the show, I'm afraid I can't go with you tonight because I can't do my normal Rock and Roll Friday with throwaway topics. Things have evolved today and tonight about Libya Gate that must be talked about. And the fact of the matter is we have dead people. We have the father of the dead Navy SEAL who said that those complicit in this are murderers. He first said this is not about politics. Mr. Wood said if it were about politics, it would dishonor his son's death. And he said this is about honor, integrity, and justice. He then goes on to say, well, Dino, play clip 11 so people can hear what Mr. Wood says about your wonderful administrators in the Obama administration.
To me, I'm an attorney. This may not meet the legal test of murder, but to me, that is not only cowardice, but those people who made the decision and who knew about the decision and lied about it are murderers of my son. That's a very strong statement for me to make. But for their benefit, they need to clear their conscience. They need to stand up.
Okay, so he said basically they're accessories to murder. Who's responsible? General Petraeus in CIA said he's not responsible. He did not give the order to stand down. That means someone else did it. Do you understand that? It's the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Don't change that dial.
I'll call Michael right now at 855-400-SAVAGE. That's 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Michael Savage, bigger, stronger, better on The Savage Nation. We're talking about Libya Gate. It could be Benghazi Gate, but the reason I refer to it as Libya Gate is because the first three letters might appeal to the liberals who may think this has something to do with food stamps. Libya Gate is not a joking matter. Those who denied help to the SEALs and the CIA operatives on the ground are murderers, according to the father of the SEAL who died. CIA operatives were denied requests for help during attack on consulate. Leon Panchetta says that the military lacked enough information to intervene. That's a bald-faced lie. He's a liar. If we lived in a real democracy, it was a participatory democracy, he would be fired. The Congress, the Senate would go into a late-night session. And if we lived in a participatory democracy, Panetta would be thrown overboard for this. Somebody would go to prison for this. Obama himself, the great commander-in-chief, the greatest commander since General, well, you name it. Obama said, I'm not personally aware of security requests before the attacks. Perhaps he was in Las Vegas at a fundraiser. Perhaps he had Chris Rockhead at visiting the White House so they could talk about important things such as rap music. McCain says the Pentagon was unprepared. Well, that's very tough. That's very tough of old McCain. What do you think about this? How do you feel about this? Do you feel Panetta should be forced to step down? How do you feel about Obama and Panetta evading responsibility? Since hours ago, the head of the CIA, Petraeus, said nobody in his CIA said stand down. He's basically thrown Obama under the bus. He is saying he didn't do it. They're probably looking to blame him. So he's saying, I didn't say stand down. That means either Panetta did it, one of Panetta's minions did it, or one of Obama's close advisors in the White House did it. If we lived in a participatory democracy and we had a fourth estate that is not a fifth column, this would bring down the Obama administration. It would be the end of the election. But that's not going to happen. Let's go to the callers now. Line 4 WFTL in Florida. Stephen, thanks for waiting You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. This isn't about a kidnapping attempt. This is actually probably a tit for tat. They allowed those men to die because we took out Gaddafi. Just like when you were talking about a couple of nights ago about how our Navy SEALs were taken out, that was the same group that took out bin Laden. So this fits in perfectly with Obama's
mind. I felt that there was somewhat of they were sacrificial lambs, because after bin Laden was taken out, I had a terrible feeling that they were sacrificed in order to calm down the Islamists. I have a terrible feeling that the Obama administration is literally the tail of the Islamist dog.
I agree 100% with you. Obama should be impeached. Panetta should go to jail.
Well, you can't impeach a man who might be voted out of office in 2 weeks, but God forbid he wins, you're never going to hear any more about this.
Oh, it's going to be very
why is Romney not saying anything about this on the campaign trail is the real mystery.
You know, I think that Romney had the opportunity in the third debate, and he actually let it go because he probably felt this was going to unravel, and he gave Obama enough rope to hang himself with.
Well,
Obama,
the third debate was controlled by the Fourth Estate, which has become the fifth column. Candy Crawley should be disbarred from the journalistic profession. Candy Crawley. By the way, how do you like me down on FTL in this new time slot? I hope you still love it.
I love it. I talked to you 4 years ago, and I don't know if you remember the conversation we had. I told you if Obama got elected, I was going to move to Costa Rica. And I didn't do it. It's been 4 years of hell. And thank goodness I have your voice to listen to, because it's the only voice of sanity out there.
Well, down in Florida, I can imagine you feel outnumbered. I don't know if you heard the opening of the show. I was in a outdoor mall today talking to my producer, and all I did was say something about Obama. He should be arrested. Where's the military? And this Middle Eastern woman came running up to me and said, what did Obama do? And I said, he let the men die in Libya. And she screamed at me, if you're interfering with my conversation, we need the military on the streets of America, said this Middle Easterner. She said, so they can arrest men like you for criticizing the president. I swear to you, Stephen, that is what Obama has done to America. He has flooded the country with millions of such people. You know it, and I know it. And that's why this election is close. If we still had real Americans in this country, and I will repeat that, if we still had real Americans in this country, this would be an election that where Romney would be 30 points ahead. But instead we have fifth columnists in the media and floods of illegal aliens, floods of welfare recipients who, as you well know, just simply want the pork to keep on rolling. Thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. Let's go to Ted on KSFO in San Francisco. Ted, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, where is the Republican Party on all of this? I mean, when Reagan was president, the Democrats, when they controlled the House, they were, every opportunity they had, they were out there. They were fighting him. Why? Where's the belly in the fire?
You mean where's the fire? Yeah, where's the fire in the belly? Where's the pitchforks? What's going on? What's going on? Did you see the top of the Drudge Report tonight? You're not going to believe this one, what the corrupt Chicago machine has just done. Absentee ballots that were being sent to U.S. military serving in Afghanistan were destroyed in a plane crash. Did you hear this, Ted?
Yeah, I saw that.
Can you believe this?
No,
so-called federal officials just reported that absentee ballots being sent to U.S. military serving in Afghanistan may have been burned in a plane crash. A top official in the Federal Voting Assistance Program notified election officials across the nation that a transport plane crashed at Shindad Air Base on October 19th. 4,700 pounds of mail inbound to troops serving in the area went up in flames. Did you hear this? Ballots burnt by this corrupt administration. This is just the beginning. If you think this is something new, then you haven't repeated the phrase that Joseph Stalin coined, which is, he said, it doesn't matter who votes in the election, it matters who counts the votes. Who counts the votes. 1-855-400-7282. That's the Savage Nation, the new number, 855-400-7282. 400 Savage from anywhere in the United States of America. I'd like to hear from Pittsburgh, Texas, you name it. Big stations, growing by the day. 116 stations now. 134 stations as of today on the Savage Nation. I've only been on the air since Tuesday. 134 stations as of today. It's growing by the day. I'll be right back. It is Speedo Savage here on the Savage Nation. Yeah. Senators demand White House declassify Libya video. We're talking about Libyagate. CIA men on the ground were denied help three times by the Obama administration during the attack upon the consulate. The father of the slain Navy SEAL said, "Who made the decision not to save my son committed murder?" Leon Panchetta said, "Well, it's Monday morning quarterbacking. We didn't know enough to send in troops." Petraeus threw the president under the bus. That just came out this evening. That's kind of maybe you didn't hear it today on the other shows. This was breaking news at 6 o'clock tonight. This is a big story. CIA Director David Petraeus put out this statement. Listen to it. He said no one at any level in the CIA told anybody not to help those in need. Claims to the contrary are simply inaccurate. I don't know what that means, actually. That's grammatically incorrect. No one at any level in the CIA told anybody not to help those in need. So who's anybody? Who in the government did tell anybody not to help those in need? So who did it? Someone decided not to send in military assets to save those agency operatives who were on the ground. Who made such a decision? Would Panetta make it on his own? I doubt it. It would have been a decision from the president. Somebody in the president's office, maybe the president himself, made this decision. Maybe it was Susan Rice. Maybe it was Obama's mother-in-law who lives in the White House. Maybe it was the White House chef. Maybe while they were eating dinner, he asked them what he thought they should do. I mean, that's the way a great commander-in-chief works. He feels his way through things. He gets many opinions if he's truly a Democrat. And he says to the chef, what should we do in Libya while he's eating? Well, who did this? Was it Obama himself who decided against sending in military assets to help the Americans in need who died? Who did it? Libyagate. Libyagate. Now, you're not going to get this from anyone except talk radio and Fox News. A few other outlets, that's about it. Because the Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. I'll keep repeating it until you eventually hear me. The Fourth Estate has become the fifth column. Let's go to the callers. Lou in KSFO, on KSFO in San Francisco. Lou, thank you for not paying attention to other matters. This is very serious, is it not?
Yes, I believe it is. However, you made a statement before that I kind of disagree with. You said that Obama doesn't understand the Islamists, and I disagree, since when he grew up in Indonesia, he was a very, very good student in the madrasa, to the point where I understand he would be able to recite the Quran by heart. And I believe, as such, he's made the Arab Spring turn into the Israeli fall.
Well, that's an interesting statement. It is fall. I call the Arab Spring the Arab Winter about a month, actually a few days after I saw it was unfolding. I was the first one to coin the phrase the Arab Winter. I was glad to see that Romney used it on his campaign trail. I'm glad I could help him. But it's not a laughing matter, Lou. Who do you think called this one to not help those in need in Libya? Who do you think acted? Do you think Obama himself said, don't send in the troops? We don't want a wider escalation?
He's such a control freak.
Well, he is the president. He's supposed to be a control freak.
Well, then there you have it. I mean, I can't imagine it being any way.
Didn't Truman say the buck stops here? So we must assume that the buck stopped there, right?
He mentioned that during the debate. I think he was set up so that Hillary would take the fall, but the deal was that Clinton, Bill Clinton, wouldn't stand for it, so he had to come up and say something very, poignant during the debate to say that he's the president and the buck stops there.
Well, if the buck stops here, he should step forward and say, look, there's a lot of speculation going on about who said stand down. I didn't do it, or I did do it. And it doesn't matter. I'm responsible for those deaths. I apologize and I resign. That's really going to happen, though. We know that's going to happen, Lou, right?
But as I said, I believe this whole, destroying the infrastructure so much in Libya will, again, guarantee another Muslim Brotherhood.
Do you know that a year before Gaddafi was taken out during the civil war, he was telling the West that they should not destroy him and take him out, because if they did, Libya would become another Somalia ruled by basically African gangs, African warlords. Gaddafi said, I'm the best friend you ever had in Libya. He was very similar to the other strongmen in these despotic nations. Terrible men, but a better choice than the warlords who were taking over these countries.
Right, and I think the ultimate plan is to surround Israel with huge hostile, neighbors.
Well, this is already becoming biblical, the Israel question. It's almost biblical. I don't know how much longer anyone can take this when you see that the nations around Israel all want atomic weapons, and there's only one reason they want them. They're not getting them because they want to use them for peaceful purposes. They don't want them for defense. They want them for offensive purposes, and they'd like to kill every Jew in Israel. Unfortunately, it would set off World War III, and the carnage would not be limited to a single area. You know that, and I know that. Therefore, even Obama knows that. Don't you believe, Lou, that Obama understands that as well?
Yes, I believe he does. However, there's something I noticed. Never before have I heard, until Obama became president, that so many Israeli spies were captured in other countries, such as Lebanon. I mean, I see a connection there that, you know...
Well, you think that this administration is giving up their names?
I believe so. I just feel it. I don't have 100% proof, but I just look at the correlation.
I can't even comment on that. I do know that strange things are happening, and I'm glad you found me on the non-strange KSFO. 1-855-400-7282. It's Friday on the Savage Nation. I wish I could lighten up and make it a light show. I can't do it. Normally Friday is Rock and Roll Friday. But it's very, very, very dangerous out there. There's a very dangerous situation here when you have deaths like this. And we learned today that they were begging for help, and somebody in the Obama inner circle said, don't help them. Basically, let them die. Why? I mean, there's a lot of conspiracy going around, incompetence, conspiracy. What do you think it was? What happened? But go back to why they killed Gaddafi. Go back to Gaddafi. Gaddafi was sort of neutralized by Reagan with the airstrikes and from the F-15s off the aircraft carrier. Remember that? Remember when Reagan ordered those F-15s in the Gulf of Tripoli, and they fired missiles into Gaddafi's tent, killed his son? Gaddafi became a different man after that. And Gaddafi was not our friend, but he was not really our enemy. And he controlled all of these African tribal warlords who are now running wild through Libya. And he warned America. He said, do not side with the so-called rebels. He warned. He said it to Hillary. He said it to Obama. He said, because they will turn Libya, a rather stable nation, incidentally, before this, into a new Somalia. Is it not becoming a new Somalia? Isn't this Arab Spring concept the greatest policy disaster in modern American times? It is to those of us who know history. But remember what Santayana, the Spanish philosopher, wrote: those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. Are you telling me that the average voter in this country knows their history? Do you really believe that when they're watching The Real Housewives of New Jersey? Do you really believe that they know their history, their American history, when they're watching The Real Housewives of Hollywood, when they're watching The Real Housewives of Manhattan, when they're watching vile, disgusting lowlives with no education, such as the Goombas on Jersey Shore, who become national heroes to the extent that even the president refers to them? Can you imagine a thing like this? You actually think they know their history when people of the lowest order have taken over the highest places in this country? I don't think so. And so we're living in broken times where a nanny slashes little children to death and no one has an answer. Yeah, 10 seconds. I know we're running out of time. So look, there's plenty to talk about right here on The Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere. I'll be right back.
Oh, you sweet man.
Do I want? Will I want? Oh, baby, you know what I like.
There's other insults to our intelligence coming out of this administration. Some women that I know are sickened over the ad comparing voting to losing virginity. Obama aunt says first-time voting is like losing your virginity. They compare it to a one-night stand, trying to appeal to the, I guess, the young and wild out there. Have you heard this ad? Can you believe this? I want you to hear the shortened ad in clip 8. Listen to this.
Your first time shouldn't be with just anybody. You want to do it with a great guy. It should be with a guy with beautiful... Someone who really cares about and understands women. A guy who cares whether you get health insurance, and specifically whether you get birth control. The consequences are huge. My first time voting was amazing. It was this line in the sand. Before I was a girl, now I was a woman. I went to the polling station, I pulled back the curtain, I voted for Barack Obama.
The Obama campaign has put out this official video targeting young adults that compares voting to having sex for the first time. They say this year's election is all about sex, birth control, and abortion. Jim Messina, campaign manager for Obama for America, tweeted the video, making it public for the first time. He said, your first time voting is important. You are ready. Can you believe this? This is beyond comprehension. How any mother, well, how any mother, that's another statement. I live in another world. How any mother. You know, you could say you can't learn a lot just by looking around the mall. I learn a lot looking around the mall. I'm verbally assaulted by a Middle Easterner who says I should be arrested for criticizing the president because Romney will cut her Social Security payments. She didn't know I was a talk show host. Then I see a mother going by with, what shall I say, slutty clothing. Yes, a mother going by in slutty clothing. She had a 10 or 11-year-old girl with her who was in sluttier clothing. They were hugging each other as they walked by, holding hands like they were... female lovers. I've never seen anything like it. This is a mother. The Real Housewives of Marin County, that's a mother. The girl looked like a prostitute. The mother looked like a prostitute. They looked like two hookers. So, I mean, when I put out an ad like this, comparing voting to losing your virginity, maybe they know their market. Maybe we're just from another time, another place. First time voting is like losing your virginity. Those who do not know their history are condemned to repeat it. So I guess we're condemned to repeat it, since we have so many morons who are capable of voting now. Total morons, incapable of clothing themselves, let alone voting. And by the way, their vote is equal to yours. Don't get me started on that one. I have my own feeling about who should be qualified to vote in this country. I feel anyone who is receiving public assistance should temporarily lose their right to vote. I don't think that's unconstitutional. I want you to think about that for a minute. If you're on public assistance, who are you going to vote for? Someone who says, I'm going to increase the number of weeks you can continue to collect public assistance and increase the amount you get. Or the person who says, look, those who are providing the money can't do it anymore. We're going to cut back on the weeks and the amount. Who are you going to vote for? So therefore, if you're on public assistance, you should lose the right to vote during that period. Secondly, it encourages you to get back on your feet, doesn't it? Doesn't work that way. Not to the Democrat machine. They want to register as many felons as they possibly can. Ex-felons who are out of prison. That's an interesting discussion unto itself. In other words, how long should you should be punished if you made a mistake and went to prison? I really don't think it should be for the rest of your life, incidentally. It's a second story. But let's focus on this ad for the virginity thing. If you have any comments about that, any women out there? No? Okay, well, we'll go back to Libya Gate then, if you'd like to talk about that on the Savage Nation. WKIM in Memphis, Tennessee. Helen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you. The president is ignoring about Al-Qaeda. He's covering up for everything. He's appeasing everybody overseas, and it's right in his backyard, sir.
You think that we have sleepers here in America?
Absolutely.
Well, not only do I think it, I can tell you I know it. That woman who came running up to me in the mall today and screamed that I should be arrested by the U.S. military for criticizing the president, I had a feeling afterwards that I was watching a show like Homeland, where she was a sleeper in this country, waiting for the right moment to act. She certainly was not an American citizen. She was certainly a fifth columnist. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I concur. I believe it, and I know it.
They're all over this country. They were flooded in here by Clinton onward. Clinton onward. Onward, wooden soldiers. KSFO, Lewis, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm afraid we may have some quislings in our government, not excluding Obama. But anyway, my thought about why we didn't send rescuers into Libya is that originally Obama had vowed that it was, oh, just air cover, a NATO operation, we're going to let the rebels do their job and all that. He vowed that there would be no American boots on the ground.
Okay, so this was part of his foreign policy. No boots on the ground, just blood on the ground.
Yeah, I mean...
No
so
American boots on the ground, just American blood on the ground. Okay, well, that's an interesting foreign policy.
The motivation that he put out, that was the reason that he didn't have to go to Congress to get any approval, that it's, you know, it's not a big deal.
It's a very interesting perspective, and I think you're right. In other words, let's avoid the conspiracy theories that he was working for the other side, or he was trying to trade Ambassador Stevens for the blind sheik. I mean, these are potentially viable theories for a novel. But it's probably more likely that what you said is true, which is that his policy is no American boots on the ground. Let the Islamists have the playground to themselves.
Yeah, I think that's
well,
it.
Okay,
I mean,
that's nice. That's nice to hear. I love Panetta saying that it's Monday morning quarterbacking to even ask the question about why troops were not sent in. But where are the Republicans on this? They're going to hold a hearing on it, what, after the election? I think that would be a little too late. Who gave the order to stand down? Who gave the order to stand down? Let's go to Kern in Bakersfield, California. K-E-R-N. David, thank you for calling the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi. It's really nice to talk to you. I've been listening to you for about 2 years, and just want to say it's great that you're back on the radio. I think Obama is the one who gave the order to stand down. And I think it's not for any type of underlying motives. I think he's just a petty man. The order came to him, and the situation arose, and he had just said no. He didn't feel like doing one of those photo op rooms with when they did the Osama operation in Pakistan.
Okay, so you think that Obama gave the order to stand down. Okay, well, I mean, he's the commander-in-chief. It actually doesn't matter who gave the order. He ultimately has the responsibility, so therefore he owns it. So if he owns it, why is there no outrage in America? Answer, the Real Housewives of, fill in the blank. Okay, that's it. It's that simple. This was an attack on September 11th. It was a terror plot. And I believe the administration engaged in willful blindness to what was coming, not only in Benghazi, but around the world. Willful blindness. Willful blindness. Ambassador Stevens was complaining about the growing jihadist violence that threatened his life and his staff. He kept complaining, and yet they were sacrificed by Obama in order to support his policies. Well, the fact is these Americans could have been saved. Attack went on for 6 hours. U.S. drone was overhead. American fighter jets and an AC-130 gunship or more were less than 450 miles away in Sicily. A massive rapid response could have been ordered to defend the consulate. Instead, Obama did nothing. Why? He didn't want to violate Libyan so-called sovereignty, which is being ruled by who? Who's ruling Libya right now? Who? Who's the government of Tripoli? He let these men be sodomized and murdered by the Islamists. It was an atrocity. It was an assault on America because, you know, an embassy is your soil on a foreign ground. That's why they're able to ride around, for example, your city and get parking tickets and not pay them. That's why they're able to run people over and get back to their home country because they're basically not in your country. When the jihadists broke into our compound, it was the equivalent of them storming into a building in Washington or New York. They invaded American soil. They shed American blood on behalf of their holy war against you, against your freedoms. And Obama knew it was terrorism, and he didn't order a military response. Should he be defeated for this in November? Sure. Will he be defeated in November? It's anyone's guess. With military ballots being, well, not delivered, let's say the plane crashed and the ballots went up in smoke. With illegal aliens voting. Remember, Obama granted amnesty to 1.3 million illegal aliens with the so-called Dreamer Act? Without a peep of complaint from the scared-as-mice Republicans for fear of offending the illegal alien vote? You're telling me that they're not going to vote? For God's sakes, they were given driver's licenses in various states, which permits them to walk in and vote because there's no voter ID laws in the country. which the corrupt criminal administration of Obama has been fighting. So, do you think Obama's going to lose? I don't know, but I'll tell you this. If he wins, we are suddenly a banana republic. If Obama wins, if he gets away with stealing this election through all of the things he has done, we will become like a South American dictatorship. Businesses will suffer. There's not a business in this country. There's not a business person in this country, unless they're directly receiving money from the federal government, that will do better under an Obama administration, which stands for increased taxes and increased red tape. So I really don't care what your politics are. If you actually make a living by creating jobs or producing services, then you got to be a lunatic to vote for this administration. This is not a normal Democrat machine. I got to repeat that. If John F. Kennedy were alive today, he would be a right-wing Republican. That's what they would name him. The fifth column would call JFK a warmonger and a right-wing Republican. This is not the Democrat Party of your father. This is not the Democrat Party of your mother. This is not the Democrat Party that you know. This is the Socialist Party USA, if not the CPUSA. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 1-855-400-SAVAGE. I'll be right back.
Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. We're talking about Libyagate and all the other news stories of the day. I like to go to my website, michaelsavage.com, where I post stories from 7 o'clock in the morning that are important to me, and I've not changed this one. CIA ops were denied request for help in Benghazi attack. It should bring down the Obama administration. Unfortunately, it may not. It probably will not. The welfare recipients could care less about Benghazi. They care more about other things. Manhattan nanny accused of stabbing toddlers to death. A story beyond comprehension. I accused the drugs. I would say she was medicated and something happened with her selective serotonin uptake inhibitors. Something went wrong with her medication. There's no other explanation. U.S. Navy SEALs disgusted with Weinstein's Obama propaganda. Shame on Nat Geo. I'm not going to watch Nat Geo for a while. I used to like the channel, but since they become a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration, like so many other products of NBC, I'm not watching them anymore. I would suggest you do the same. Obama plans to control executive pay. This is from Reuters. Wants to control executive pay. Obama's lead evaporates in two key swing states. Independents are moving swiftly towards Romney. I guess they finally saw the real man in debate number one. And no matter what Candy Crowley did and Bob Schieffer did, they still had an indelible impression of the incompetent double talker in the White House. Yeah, it's true. U.S. troops, more of them die in apparent Afghan insider attack. Why are we there? I've been opposed to the Afghan adventure for a very long time. I have said we should withdraw our troops from Afghanistan for a very long time. Don't typecast me. I'm not a warmonger. I'm the exact opposite. I say take all the troops out of Afghanistan now. And anyone who wants to go there, I think they should enlist on their own and just become, their own brigade. Iran nearly finished with nuclear enrichment plan. Yeah, right. Oh, sure. Texas vows to arrest international election monitors. I hope they do. And let's go back to the big story. Lawmakers press administration for Libya answers. You think they'll get them? I don't think they'll get them. 134 stations are listening to the Savage Nation as of today. The phone number here is 1-855-400-7282. Let's go to one of the callers, Dave, on WCOA in Pensacola, Florida. Dave, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. It's great to hear you back on the air.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be back.
I've got a comment about Benghazi Gate and then about the First Time ad for yes. Obama. First, right. On Benghazi Gate, I've been rather relishing the idea of Obama losing and then being able to say it was the movie.
Which movie?
Oh, the film.
Oh, he can say that the YouTube video brought him down.
Without the explanations from the administration, hopefully this will be the nail in his coffin, and it was the movie.
Yeah, but do you actually think that those who are so slavishly addicted to Obama and his lies and his machine are going to change their mind because of the death of an ambassador?
We can only hope.
We can only hope that there are people out there who actually know what's going on and how dangerous this man really is. The fact of the matter is this is only the beginning, and it's only what we actually know. Now, what about this virginity ad, lose your virginity, vote for Obama ad?
Well, I can't think of a more apt concept for an Obama ad because what the guy she's losing her virginity to is going to do to her, he's been doing to us for 3.5 years, and he'll do it for 4 more if he wins.
Oh, it's the first laugh I've had all night, Dave. Thanks. You're in the heart of Pensacola, I take it, which is the real Florida. I mean, I'm not denigrating Southern Florida, but Southern Florida is not really Florida, as we know. Southern Florida is another borough of New York and of Venezuela.
Well,
I love Southern Florida. I own property down there. I love it, but it's like going to a third world country.
It's got beautiful beaches. That's one thing you can say.
It has beautiful beaches. Yes, it certainly does. It's a family show, so I can't say anything more than that. No, it's a beautiful place. It really is. I mean, if you like South America, you will love South Florida, as do many South Americans who are fleeing the dictatorships and moving into that area. You know, it's almost time for another break on the Savage Nation. I'm here every night on your local station. I think it's 121 now. I've lost count. I got it earlier. Don't know what I did with it. It's big. In only 1 week. You can catch me every night in this time slot on your local station. Big stations, KSFO San Francisco, KLIF Dallas, WJR Detroit, KVI Seattle, FTL Fort Lauderdale, NIS Norfolk. I have not purposely left your station out, but you're all very important to me, and I hope you tell your friends about the program. Very soon you can go to michaelsavage.com, and there's going to be a map put up by Cumulus Media. Cumulus Media will put up a map of the entire country with every city where my show plays, and you press the button, and it'll tell you what station I'm on and what times I'm on, which is incredible. The graphic is great. I can't wait until I see it go up. And again, this is the place for the Savage Nation. I've been on the radio since 1994. The only thing different about this is the time slot and the fact that I'm with professional operators, with the greatest engineers on earth, which is why you finally heard my voice as it really is. Remember that. This is the first time you've actually heard the Savage voice. So as I say every night, be here or be absolutely nowhere. I'm Michael Savage.
Savage.
I got a caller. It's Brian, and welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Nice to talk to you again. I'm a loyal listener and still here from Savage Nation. Enjoy your humor and logic. I have a
what, so it used to be known as the wit and wisdom of Michael Savage in this case. In other words, I can be very wise and I can be very witty, or I can be very boring at times. I understand that. Do you think today I'm being witty, wise, or boring?
I'd say witty and wise.
Oh, thank God. I skipped the beat. You took a little while to answer that one. I'm a little worried. No, I swear, it was like a pause. If it was instantly, oh, Mike, it was witty, okay, but no, it was, I think witty, okay, that's not bad. That could be a joke within a joke. BJ, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation on this beautiful Friday.
Dr. Savage, the simple pleasures are the best way to go, and that's been the hallmark of your life. And the Irish people would welcome you with open arms because they don't care much for subjugation or royalty.
Thank you. That's exactly right. They made me into an honorary Irishman of the 1912 period. You know that the Brits have made me into the equivalent of an Irish citizen in the period about 1912.
Michael Collins, now we have Michael Savage.
No, that's right. You know what? That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll go to Ireland. I once almost moved there, by the way. I almost emigrated to Ireland. Would you believe it? About 30 years ago, I was going through a phase of I can't live in this country anymore, not with the leftists, what they're doing to this country. And I thought of moving to Ireland, but it was just too complex. I thought of getting like a thatched house, living out in the countryside. What it really was, I heard that they treated writers very well. It would have been a disastrous mistake for me in retrospect. I'm glad I didn't go. I was going to live the writer's life out in the woods. It wouldn't have worked at all. I wouldn't have fit in. I know I wouldn't have fit in. I would have had some friends, you know, the drinking buddies in the pubs. I'd weigh about 197 pounds, at least, maybe 220, maybe a 210-er. Right now, I'm still in, you know, livable shape. But the beer. I'm back on wine again. I'm starting to drink wine. I'm drinking an Alsatian white wine. It's unbelievable. Cheap, but good. I got it from my friend up in Chalet Basque. I first tasted it up there, and I didn't get a headache. Imagine that I've reached a point in life where everything has to be like, does it cause a reaction, like an aversion reaction? Isn't it sickening? I used to drink wine by the bottle. Never bothered me. Then I reached a point where a sip, ugh, every sip my head would, so I was like reduced to drinking a beer or a vodka because it didn't affect me because vodka is the purest of drinks of alcohol, you know, and then the beer, if you know, the German beers are the best. And that was it. I couldn't drink wine, but now I'm drinking wine. It was much, much different high. Couple of glasses of wine, totally different. We should talk about alcohol on Friday. What kind of alcohol and what it does for you. It's absolutely not the same. Look, you drink lab alcohol, you're going to get one buzz. You drink beer, you're going to get another. Let's say in the same amount of alcohol, you drink wine, you're going to get yet another. It's the congeners in the other the other drinks, what they do to you. No wonder people, they swirl it, they look at it, they're just drunks. I love guys sitting around and they swirl. What are they swirling? They have to show off with a glass of wine. Who are they fooling? They just want to drink it and get, you know, wasted. Ex-Wall Streeter took cyanide after the guilty verdict. You see, it fits right into the show. Remember the former Wall Street trader who collapsed in court after being found guilty of arson? Remember they put something in his mouth? They found that it was cyanide. Unbelievable. Orangutan sent to island to kick smoking habit. Oh, come on. That's not, really? I always had a soft spot for orangutans. They're red, you know, they're red fur. I'm starting to think about it. You got to be careful. You get an attack orangutan in this country. You don't know what's liable to happen. What if you have a pet orangutan and runs amok in the street? And I'm into a pessimistic mood, really. So I'd rather not. Truthfully. I mean, look what the sewer pipe of Hollywood has done to this country, and we forgot it already. Pessimism never won any battle, said Dwight D. Eisenhower. Yes, that is true. That is true for Dwight D. Eisenhower, who was a warrior and a general. But what if you're an ordinary person? You can't be a pessimist? What's wrong with it? Arnold Bennett, a Victorian-era British author, said pessimism, when you get used to it, is just as agreeable as optimism. And I'll say something else for pessimism. If you're pessimistic long enough, you'll never be disappointed. That's a Savage original. Putting me into the lexicon on pessimism. Michael Savage, the great American author and commentator, said that if you're pessimistic long enough, you will never be disappointed. That's pretty good. I have a very dark sense of humor, to be honest with you. But it's worked for me my whole life. It has worked for me my entire life. The dark sense of humor that I have has gotten me through virtually everything so far. I can't have a false optimism like the how to win friends and influence people, which is, by the way, it is American. How to win friends and influence people. When I first heard that philosophy somewhere after my sufferings of young Wertha phase, like 18, 19, it was so alien to me. I felt like I was from another planet. I tried to twist my brain into being optimistic, but I didn't know how to do it. I had no concept of how to be an optimist. I don't know how to be an optimist. Look at me. Listen to what I'm saying to you. I don't know if you're interested in this, but it's a very interesting topic. Pessimism is an equally valid way to get through life as optimism, right? And yet it's considered almost un-American or anti-American to be pessimistic. I know it is. Oh, look, he's too pessimistic. So? And? What was the difference? Some of the greatest poetry and music, you know, it reflects pessimism, melancholia. I can tell you right now, you listen to any piano concerto of another period, it's all pessimistic music. On the verge of suicide, every piano concerto was written by some genius composer who was this far away from knocking himself off. But he tore his heart out in composing the piano concerto. Very little of it is uplifting. yeah, maybe he'll go into a few uplifting sections of his composition. So what do you want to talk about? Optimism, pessimism? I would say that most people listen to talk radio are pessimists. That would be my guess. Mixed in would be some of the people who are lifetime optimists. God bless them how they do it. I don't know what it is. You have to always have a positive attitude, keep your head up. It works. I remember actually when I think about it, I was going through this phase a long time ago when I read a book by an optimist, a whole workbook. They had all sorts of programs in the Bay Area on how to make you think differently and positively. It was so alien to me. But people at work, coworkers, had the books. And one of the statements, and it made sense, in order for an airplane to fly, the attitude of the plane has to be kept up. That got me through the University of California at Berkeley, the last year, the hardest year of my life. I finished it out and got my PhD from Berkeley. I got it in 2.3 years, world record. You know, I don't know if anyone's got a PhD faster than I do from that great university. I came, there were two master's degrees and six books to my name, two children, working a job, and I still got a PhD in 2.7 years. Would you believe it? 3.95 index out of a 4.0. You don't read about that because, oh, Michael Savage, blah, 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 blah. Well, the fact is that I remember I had a job during that phase, too. I was working at some job, and the guy had the book where it said, an airplane, in order for it to maintain altitude, must keep its attitude up, meaning the nose had to be up in order to gather the wind. And it's the same with the person. So from that point on, I picked up a little optimism to fly through the program. It was really hard for me and bad. It was the worst. You know, the worst day of my life was in that PhD program. Never. I thought I would never make it through. You want to hear what pessimism? You want to hear depression? Probably a real PhD in a real science is as tough a thing as you can get, as you can go through. But I've always loved the challenge, and I've always, you know, picked challenges that I could reasonably expect to succeed at. And I wanted a PhD more than anything on the earth at the time. It was the number one thing in my life. It wasn't because I was told it was a union card and it would get me a teaching position, which I wanted very badly. It wasn't just that. It was the honor of a real PhD. I wanted it more than anything I had ever wanted in my life, right? So I was willing to do anything for it. Well, I had reached the point of the end of the road with, I think it was oral exams were coming up. You don't know what an oral exam is. It's as tough as anything you can go. Maybe a kid going through a parole hearing would understand what an oral exam is, because it was like being in a parole hearing. You have like a panel of your three professors, and you have to defend your thesis, and you really have to know your stuff, because they're going to cut you to ribbons if you're at a real university in a real science. Very tough. I remember feeling so low. This is hard to describe. I was sitting in the men's room, where men sit in men's rooms, in the right. I felt as though I had disappeared within my body and had fallen into the toilet. I know you can laugh at it. It sounds humorous, but it wasn't. It was almost a semi-psychotic state of exhaustion. I used all of the techniques that I still use, frankly, to get through those periods. Including religion. It's when I think I went into my very heavy God phase. The heavy God phase came after I got my PhD, and 65 universities rejected me because I was white and bright. They said, white, bright men need not apply. Don't even send us another one. Almost a 4.0 index, great PhD, published at a major university. They didn't want to hire me because I was a white male. They were hiring, as you well know, anyone but white males at that time if they could. So I went into a very bad state, and I had to find the strength within to survive. Two young children, didn't know where the next dollar was going to come from, didn't know what to do with myself, all because the ACLU said some people in our society...
Savage.
What country has the most energy resources in the world? Saudi Arabia? Iran? America. America has the richest oil and natural gas resources in the world. But President Obama puts drastic restrictions on our oil and natural gas development. When gas prices went from $1.89 to $3.80, what did he do? He blocked the Keystone Pipeline. He cut leases on federal lands by 50%. We lost millions of jobs. Energy prices soared. The energy we need is right under our feet. It's our energy. It's our opportunity. Liberals hate American energy and restrict it again and again. No more. We must elect pro-energy leaders. Energy is the opportunity. Now is the time. America says now. go to energyisopportunity.com. It's time for America to be number one in energy. No more restrictions. America says now. Say it with us at energyisopportunity.com.
Interested in this song. It's too old already. I don't know what it is. None of this is moving me today. Maybe I should move up to the 70s, maybe. We have any 70s, 80s music? I like disco music lately in the car. There's a certain lightness to it. Who's the guy with the hair plugs who got in trouble with the massage guys? I feel bad for him, true. He has so much trouble in his life. He didn't need this late in his life. What's his name? I know, I'm joking. It's my gimmick. When I play disco music in the car, I'm suddenly transformed to John Travolta as a young man in tight pants dancing. Then he was in L.A. Confidential. No, he was in a Psycho movie. The crazy, killing, disgusting. I hated that movie. I never got images out of my head from some movies. To this day, I'm disturbed by certain images I've seen in movies. I can go way back. The first horrible image in my head that I still can't erase, to show you the power of movies, you'll never believe it. Samson and Delilah, Victor Mature, being tormented by the midgets with the nets and the poker. Samson, look at that movie. See, it was a funny thing. Samson and Delilah, the original version, I don't know, early 50s. Victor Mature plays Samson, and he's blinded with the hot coals. They throw nets on him, and then they get the dwarfs to poke him with, I don't know, poke him with pokers, hot pokers, before he knocks down the Roman temple. That image I can't get out of my mind. Now, Victor Mature, by today's standards, would be laughable. You know, the pecs were hanging. It was awful. The guy looked like he needed a lot of work on the upper body. But in those days, that was considered a good body. Today, if you looked at him, it would never pass. The age of the muscle man in movies didn't really originate till the 60s. Like around Schwarzenegger's time is when you first saw muscled bodies in the movies. But I'm talking the decade before that, they got away with murder. Let's say the grandfathers of Spielberg type. The fathers of Spielberg, even though his father was a bomber pilot and an American, a patriotic American, I'm saying the movie father of Weinstein. Weinstein's movie father, symbolically, would have been able to book, let's say, a Jewish guy from Brooklyn as a Navajo, which they did regularly, incidentally. You look back at 50s movies of Indians, they were all Jewish guys from Brooklyn that they came out from the candy store with. They put feathers on the head. The guy's name was Mo on Eastern Parkway, suddenly became, ooh, you know, he gave an Indian name. It was unbelievable. Good-looking guys with dark skin, they probably Sephardic Jews. I don't think they could use the Ashkenazi line. I don't think they could use the European stream as an Indian, but they did. They got no one seemed to know the difference. It's amazing to me. There was such a lack of sophistication in the audiences, in the theaters in those days. Today, they're very sophisticated. Look at the amount of filth and violence they want. They're experts at it. Let's play a little music. I like Little Star by The Elegants. That's Rock and Roll Sheet 3. Little Star by The Elegants. It may trigger some summer memories that have nothing to do with the depressing times that we live in. I'm playing already. I mean, there you go. It's not so hard. You press a switch and pick a number. Snow is already in a jar. I can feel it already. It's the travel blues. I'm going to stop it. I don't want to bum my audience out. Blind Archer post-world record. How does that work? How does a blind archer, that would be like a mute talk show host, wins the a Marconi Award? How could... Let us say a mute talk show host wins a Marconi Award. How is that possible? I don't even understand this. How could you be a blind archer? What if I get on an airline plane and the guy says, "Welcome to American Airlines. We would like to let you know that we have the first blind pilot in America flying your plane today because we are an inclusive company." Would you stay on an airplane like that? Blindness is a horrible, terrible thing. But would you want to fly a plane? If you, I don't follow this, what the world we're living in. Where is this going? How does this end? How does this tolerance and inclusiveness end? Where does it end up? I need an upbeat rock and roll song. I can feel already. It's. Go, I'm go. Thinking in my... What's this now? Go, go. That's too raucous for the mood I'm in. That's on the other side, a little too... I can feel I'm in the lag phase of the sine curve. I can see what it is. A poodle is smarter than the average Democrat voter. There's no question about it. I would say my dog has a higher IQ than the average Democrat voter in the state of California. A bankrupt state, and they vote for Jerry Brown and puts in a railroad to nowhere, that's going to bankrupt the state even further. That's Democrats at work. But the poodle, as intelligent as it is still a dog, right? He can't help himself. You talk to him, you think he understands you. Oh, yeah, right. They're not a human. They make believe they understand. They're such con men, dogs. That's why I love them. You talk, they listen. Mm-hmm, yeah, I get it. They're like a therapist. They have about as much effect as the Colorado shooting suspect psychiatrist does did on him as they do on you. You know, there's an understanding. They fake it. Like most therapists are so bored of patients. They don't listen to them. And what does that tell you about yourself? It's like billable hours to a lawyer. So it's like a dog. Oh, and they look at you in the eyes, and but they don't know what you're saying. They have no idea. They're looking at you and just mirroring back your face. So therefore, you could give it a bath. It smells fluffy and like it's a human, right? You take it for a walk. It rubs in the pee 2 seconds later and smells. It's still a dog. No matter what you say to it, Teddy, look, let's have a... You're 8 years old. I can't take this bathing you every time you go out. Can't you just lift your leg on a bush and walk away like a normal dog? You go out right now, he's rubbing in the hedge, rubbing in the other dogs. Why are you doing this? He looks at me like I'm crazy for even asking it. He's a dog. That's what dogs do. He rubs against the bushes. No matter what I say to him, he'll rub in the bush and destroy the wash job I just gave him. Now, come on, he smells. I have to wash him again. I can't stand it. So I'd rather not take him out. I let him go in his own backyard. Then you clean it up. That's the. But what I'm getting at is they don't really understand much of what you say. It's all intuition and acting. They're like little parrots. So as I'm saying to you, he jumps in the swimming pool. And no matter what you say to him, no matter how smart he looks, he's going to drink the water and vomit from the chlorine in it. You can't break him of it. So that's one thing. Then number two. I like to swim at dawn, alone in a pool. So you're alone in a pool at dawn. What if you have a heart attack, you say to yourself? No, you do think of these things. I do. I mean, it enters my mind. Let's say I go in the pool alone. No one's at the pool. No video camera, no video surveillance. And I have a heart attack at 6 o'clock in the morning. She comes out. She finds a floating 170-pound whitefish in the pool. What is she going to do? It's the aftermath. I don't want to be left in the pool. So on the other hand, then the dog should be with me at dawn. In case I do stroke out, he goes running in the house. He's dead in the pool. Come on out. You think it's like in the movies. He's going to grab me by the collar, pull me out, and give me a CPR. He's going to run to a fireman. Hey, come to the pool. He's like, poodle save Sam. Poodle save Sam. You could see what I do with myself. I have too much time on my hands. It's why I've taken to writing novels. No, you got to write something to get it out of your head. No, if you don't have outlets you know what I'm saying? You got to let it out of you somehow, don't you? No one's listening already. What's going to happen when Romney becomes president? You think he'll take me off the list? Oh, I better start being nice to him. Yeah, right. He'll take me off the list. Yeah. Well, who wants to go to England anyway? I'm going to go to Ireland when everything's said and done. I'm going to take a tour group to Ireland. We're going to go to the border of England in Ireland. We're going to jeer the British with the most anti-British slogans imaginable. I'll have more fun with the Irish than with the English anyway. That's the end of it. The Irish didn't put me on a list, did they? No. I always get along with the Irish. I don't care what their politics are. For something, there's something melancholic about Irish people that I like. I don't like overtly cheerful people. I don't trust them. I mean, there's something to be said for confidence, yes. But on the other hand, this constant how to win friends and influence people with smiles and, you know, utter confidence, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. But the Irish are always perennially, under the surface, miserably sad. Some 1,000 years of oppression. That I can relate to. Well, we have questions out there. It's open mic to mic. If you're still listening to me, then you're in bad shape. I on my cell phone, apps. I hit the wrong button. It goes to apps. I was born in a pre-apps age. I don't even know what an app is to me. If I saw the word APP, it meant someone had appendicitis. I was afraid they were going to die of this, like an infection. So app meant appendix. Now app, I don't even know what. So many apps. Buy the app. App this, select the community. I have a primitive phone. I have a Samsung. I hide it. I don't have an iPhone. I don't like moving my finger around. Looks like it's... I have a Samsung Rugby. Old-fashioned, very rugged. You could drop it. It bounces. Numbers. I wonder because the numbers are big. I like you could take pictures with it. I've taken pictures. So durable AT&T Rugby. AT&T Samsung Rugby phone. But I pull it out. Youngsters snicker at me. Look at him. They're so sophisticated with their moving their finger around. A word they can't write. A full sentence, a literate sentence they can't write. A book they've never written, let alone a letter. They text each other. They can't write a letter. It's like they can move their body on a dance floor, but they can't dance. You know what I mean? Same thing. Holding a girl, forget about it. Dancing across from a girl, yes. May as well dance with a chair in the room. What's the point of dancing? Whatever. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back. Savage Nation, here's a question for you. Do crosses at Catholic University violate the human rights of Muslims? Now, such a question on the face of it is insane. But Muslims are saying a cross at a Catholic university violates the human rights. Who do you think put that in the Muslims' heads? The ACLU. Air Force removes God from logo. Obama leaves God out of Thanksgiving address. School removes God from song. Anti-bullying speaker, you know what they are, the most bullying people on the planet. Anti-bullying speaker curses Christian teens. Is this the country that you want to live in? Is this the country that you think your ancestors fought for? Is this what this has come to, that violent left-wing psychopaths have destroyed freedom of speech? There's always an election going on. There's always a circus going on. It's unbelievable to me. There are a lot of other stories. I mean, we haven't yet dropped the sewer pipe of Hollywood, which has twisted our culture into pretzels. Harvey Weinstein calls for gun control. And I said what we need is Weinstein control, not gun control. Symbol shot. I mean, I think that we need Spielberg control, not gun control. I think, there you go. I think we need Weinstein control, not gun control. Yes, now you got it. I think we need sewer pipe cleaning instead of gun control. All right, well, I think we made the point. Revealed that the Colorado mass murderer was seeing a university psychiatrist prior to the shooting. Now, who do you blame? The shrink? I can't blame the shrink. Their profession is given over to total acceptance and total tolerance. You have to understand the mindset of a shrink. Anyone in the healing professions, meaning psychiatrist, psychologist, lay therapist, whatever. Their entire field is given over to non-judgmentalism. So if a guy comes in and says, oh, I'm having fantasies about shooting up a movie theater and killing people, she'll ask him if his father exposed himself to him when he was 2 years old. Or he'll say, did your mother do something to you? Come back in three, let's say I'll see you for three. I have three sessions. Come back in 2 months. They make no value judgments. The whole society has been taken out of the church and into the psychiatrist chair, which is why we've fallen apart. See, when there are no values, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not steal, etc., then anything is possible, and then we have America today. And, of course, that's why we're living through the psychosis that we have today, where a Muslim would have the nerve, the audacity, to attend the Catholic University and say that the cross violates my human rights. But let me explain the business I'm in. Let me explain the thin line I'm in. I read you the headlines, didn't I? Then I read you some other stories that are hard to believe. Muslims are claiming crosses at Catholic University violate their human rights. The Air Force removes God from the logo. School removes God from a song. Anti-bullying speaker curses Christian teens. So the business I am in is such that the minute I say hello, I alienate half the audience. 50% of the people listen to the show waiting to be insulted. The other 50% like me an awful lot. So whatever I say will attract tremendous reactions, both pro and con. That's the thin line that I walk on. So isn't that what free speech is all about? How many times have I told you that the entire intent of free speech is to, in other words, if you're not saying something that agitates people, then you may as well not say it at all. Then you're not really speaking your mind. You're being polite, which is okay. It's okay to be polite. But if you're in the area of commentary, which I'm in, if you are not getting people angry, some people angry, then what's the point of being in the area of commentary? Then you're not using the First Amendment. The First Amendment was made to protect speech that agitates people. Don't you understand that? That free speech means that speech will, by definition, agitate some people who don't agree with you, and that's what the First Amendment is for. I'm trying to educate America. It's almost impossible with the dumbness out there. The morons who sit in a movie theater with 3D glasses inside their head, born with 3D glasses behind their retinas, born to sit in the seat and listen to what the garbage that's put out by those who manufacture the sewage. Just born. So if I say things that please some and offend others, I'm exercising my First Amendment right. Isn't that correct? Do I have to remind you that if people are offended by anything that they hear, that's too darn bad? That we live in a free country. We don't live in the ex-Soviet Union. We don't live in North Korea where you get shot for insulting the president. Or is that the country you would like to live in? If so, then I suggest you become a member of MSNBC's new Stormtroopers, because obviously MSNBC believes in no free speech. They never have anybody on who disagrees with them.
How many times have you been in love in your life, properly in love?
Properly in love?
Yeah.
Once.
This was the only woman for you ever?
This is, yes.
True love.
This is the only woman I fell in love with. I mean, I was a senior in high school, for Pete's sake, so I fell in love with Ann. Hook, line, and sinker, she caught me, and I was lucky enough to bring her into my life, and we've been in love ever since.
And the same for you?
Amazing.
This is my true love.
That's enough already. That's all I can tell. I'm a little cynical. No, I believe him, though. The thing is, there are people who feel that way. It's like Ozzy and Harriet, which is incredible. I'm thrilled that we're about to have a real American couple again in the White House, in my opinion. Now, why do I say real American couple? I know that's offensive to many of you Obama worshippers. Let's go back in time. We don't know where Obama was born, even though there's a rigged up birth certificate or there isn't one. We don't know whether he's a Christian or a Muslim or an agnostic or an atheist. We don't really know. Michelle Obama, God bless her soul, said, "This is the first time I'm happy to be an American," when her husband became president. You know, these things kind of stick in your mind. The bowing to every foreign dictator. You know, these kind of things tend not to leave your memory too quickly. So when we get an Ozzy and Harriet into the White House, you know how they're going to be ridiculed by the vermin on the left. You know, do you have any idea what this is going to do to the Hollywood crowd? A couple married with five great sons with grandchildren. No divorce, no affairs. They can't dig anything up on them because they're too clean. Do you have any idea what an affront this is? Do you have any idea what this does? Do you have any idea what this does to them? Their entire structure is threatened by the Ozzy and Harriet Romney couple. So, you know, it's going to be quite a time after they win. I know it sounds like I'm a little bit of a pinhead here, an egghead. Call me what you want. I have one foot in the blue-collar world, one foot in the academic world, and my third foot in the spiritual world, my invisible third foot in the invisible spiritual world. I have one foot deeply rooted into the spiritual world and one in the blue-collar world and one in the egghead world. I really do. So, I can saw a piece of wood. I was sawing a dowel the other day with a saw I have in my garage, and I was thinking of my father's been dead 40 years. He taught me how to saw a piece of wood. Do you realize that Obama could not saw a piece of wood? I would wager guess that 70% of those in Congress could not saw a piece of wood or turn a screw into a door without slipping and cutting your finger. I would imagine, like, let's take Barney Frank, who's no longer there. If you gave him a screwdriver and you said you have to
Savage,